Okay, so hopefully you can see this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, text nine, chapter 19, text 36. So we'll begin with the prayer to the Bhagavatam, to begin the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I would like to start with this verse because it's directly dealing with gratitude and the spiritual sastric perspective on it. Tam sukhadadhyam riju bhuir ananya sharanair nirbi kritagya ko naseveta duru radhyam asadhu bihi. What grateful soul is there who would not render his loving service to such a great master as the personality of Godhead? The Lord can be easily pleased by spotless devotees who resort exclusively to him for protection, though the unrighteous man finds it difficult to propitiate him. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada, every living entity, especially persons in the human race, must feel grateful for the benedictions offered by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, anyone with a simple heart of gratefulness must be Krishna conscious and offer devotional service to the Lord. Those who are actually thieves and rogues do not recognize or acknowledge the benedictions offered to them by the Supreme Lord, and they cannot render him devotional service. Ungrateful persons are those who do not understand how much benefit they are deriving by the arrangement of the Lord. They enjoy the sunshine and moonshine, and they get water free of charge. Yet they do not feel grateful, but simply go on enjoying these gifts of the Lord. Therefore, they must be called thieves and rogues. So this is a very powerful verse, and before we begin discussing this topic, I just want to mention that oftentimes in the material world, with our materially conditioned mind, we notice these two trends that seem to happen. And I'm sure that all of you have probably noticed this too. Is one is negativity and one is complacency. So when we get together with friends or with people that we know, the topics often quickly spiral down to negative things, right? Like, oh, the weather is so hot or so cold or whatever little thing that we want to share becomes like a conversational piece. And the second trend in this material world is complacency. So that we quickly forget what we have that's special in our life and we take it for granted. So like, for example, when COVID took over the world, we suddenly, at least for myself, I suddenly realized how many things I had taken for granted, and just on a daily basis. Or one time I was in a car accident years ago and broke a leg in the car accident. And after that happened, when I was on crutches for the summer, I realized how much I had taken walking for granted, things like that. So it's a constant effort to fight against these things that are just consuming us in our materially absorbed mind. When we're talking about gratitude, this verse that we just read, it begins with describing dharmic gratitude. So what I'm going to do is I'll just quickly tell you what we're doing today. So I'm going to describe briefly dharmic gratitude, then transcendental gratitude, and description, like examples from the Shastra and from Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Then we're going to look at a few ways that gratitude directly connects with other spiritual qualities, three of them specifically, including humility. And then the third part of this presentation will be deepening our gratitude and like practical tips on how to do that, on how to fight against this complacency that we all struggle with when we're living in the material world. So just to set off with a definition, the Oxford definition of gratitude is, there's two parts to this definition. The first part is the quality of being thankful. So that's the first section of the definition. The quality of being thankful. The second part is a readiness to show appreciation for and return kindness. So if you notice, the second part is even more active. The first part is more passive, feeling thankful. Second part is a readiness to show that appreciation and to return the kindness that one has received. So just keep that in mind during this presentation, and you'll see how those play out. We'll talk more about that when we talk about practical ways to deepen our gratitude. So first, dharmic gratitude, as discussed in this verse, Prabhupada is saying that it's just a very human duty to respect and appreciate those who have given us things in life, right? It's just a, just being human is what we're expected to do. And then if we're trying to be spiritual people, even more so, we should have this mood of thanking Krishna for all the gifts we have and doing this out of a sense of duty. So Prabhupada says, in one of the lectures he gave, he talks about this in the context of prasadam. So he says that one who is intelligent, his prayer should be simply gratitude, that my dear father, you have supplied the necessities of my life so much amply, I must be feeling very grateful. So these preparations I have made for you because it is your goods. So I've made a preparation, like a cooking preparation, because it's your goods, the things that I use to prepare the food. You have supplied these grains, so you kindly first of all take, then I will take. So this is Krishna prasadam, or acknowledgement. So acknowledgement is also a form of gratitude, acknowledging Krishna gave us all the ingredients, so now I'm going to be, it's my responsibility to turn back around and offer that to Krishna. So so that's how the beginning of spiritual life is, acknowledging all the gifts we have, to shift from thinking all about myself and me and mine, and to think, wow, I wouldn't be who I am without everyone else. So to focus on others and be thankful. Then as we progress in our spiritual life, our gratitude shifts from being dharmic or just dutiful to spontaneous expression of love. We feel, we start to realize that we can't progress in our spiritual life without all these gifts we have been given. So I'm going to give you some examples from Shastra of people who, a couple of devotees and examples from Krishna himself, ways they demonstrate gratitude and this spiritual gratitude. So the first one is Dhruva Maharaj. So we often hear about Dhruva Maharaj when he was a child. So this particular thing that I'm going to share is when he is at near the end of his life in this world. And for those of you who remember, he was a transcendental airplane came down for him. This is from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So a transcendental airplane came and it was just about to start. This is the verse, right? So the verse says, Dhruva was seated in the plane, in the transcendental airplane, which was just about to start, when he remembered his poor mother, Suniti. He thought to himself, how shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother? So he, in this moment, he was thinking about his mother and how she had done so much for him spiritually. If it wasn't for his mother, he wouldn't have met his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and then he wouldn't have met Krishna. His life would not have been spiritually transformed if it hadn't been for the guidance of his mother. So he felt deeply spiritually grateful to her. And this is a higher form of gratitude than even the mundane gratitude we would feel towards parents, which is also wonderful, but this takes it to another level, like feeling grateful that his mother had helped him spiritually. So then, of course, as we know, the Vishnu Dutas, they said, oh, don't worry, your mother is just over there. And they pointed over to another transcendental airplane, and he saw his mother was also coming back home, back to God and with him. So that's a very sweet example of how he didn't forget. At the end of his life, he didn't forget his mother. Next is Kunti Devi. So of course we know Kunti Devi, when she was praying to Krishna, she was telling him about all the ways that he had helped her family, and she was going through them and mentioning them. Krishna, you helped us from a poisoned cake. You helped us from a fire. You helped us from even cannibals and from so many things. Helped us during our exile in the forest. And then she says, I wish that all of those calamities would happen again and again so that we would continue to see you again and again. For by seeing you, it means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So she has this mood of gratitude, deeply appreciating those struggles in which Krishna came and took care of them and helped them. And they felt closer than ever to Krishna during this time. So she gives us an example of how we can be grateful for even suffering in our life. And how if we can realize that it helps us come closer to Krishna, then we can see it as a great blessing. Then we have, I would like to look at some examples from Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is somebody who is just very recent in our recent history. Many devotees have met him, and then those of us coming right after. So we can see many examples from him, his life, about how he expressed his gratitude. So let's look at a few of them. The first one is from the Krishna book. So if you, for those of you who have Krishna book, if you ever looked in the dedication of the Krishna book, you see that he writes to his father, Gaur Mohan Dey, and he says, to my father, Gaur Mohan, a pure devotee of Krishna who raised me as a Krishna conscious child from the beginning of my life. In my boyhood ages, he instructed me how to play the mridanga. He gave me Radha Krishna deities to worship, and he gave me Jagannath Rathyatra cart to duly observe the festival as my childhood play. And then this is a sentence that is touching. He says, he was kind to me, and I imbibed from him the ideas later on solidified by my spiritual master, the Eternal Father. So that he's remembering his father's kindness and how his father helped him to then finally meet his spiritual master. So next, there's a little, in the same Krishna book, he has in his preface, Prabhupada writes a gratitude to George Harrison. So he writes, my grateful acknowledgement is due to George Harrison, who is now chanting Hare Krishna, for his liberal contribution of $19,000 to meet the entire cost of printing this volume. May Krishna bestow upon this nice boy further advancement in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada also appreciated, famous people like George Harrison taking part. And he also appreciated anonymous people that had no social status, as shown in this story that many of you probably know, especially those of you from New York area. So in 26 Second Avenue, Harigriva Prabhu tells a story in the Hare Krishna explosion. He says that this older homeless man appeared to be homeless, walks, stumbles into the middle of the room when Prabhupada is giving class in 26 Second Avenue. And he was wearing a long raincoat and a battered hat. And he was carrying with him some paper towels and two rolls of toilet paper in his hands. And he sort of stumbled through the devotees. And he was kind of muttering something under his breath. And so he went to the bathroom, which is off to the side, a little tiny bathroom, plunked down his contribution of toilet paper and toilet paper towels, and then just made his way back out. And Prabhupada's response was, Hayagriva Prabhu says, Prabhupada said, just see, the Swami says with satisfaction. He may not be in order, but he has just begun his devotional service. Just see how naturally it comes. That is the process. Whatever we have, it doesn't matter what. We must offer it to Krishna. So Prabhupada was appreciating that simple act of devotion, of bringing some toilet paper. Now I would like to share with you this. I came across this letter. I had never read this before, but a little clip from a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Narayan Maharaj in 1967 when he was writing back to India from his experiences of being in America. So he wrote this in this letter to Narayan Maharaj. He wrote the following. My disciples here are God sent. They are all more than my father and mother, and they are taking so much care for me that I shall never be able to repay the debts. I hope to survive by the prayers of the boys, Otherwise, I would have died on the day when the stroke was so severe. All the boys in three branches in New York, San Francisco, and Montreal prayed for me to Sri Krishna and chanted the whole night. And with vow, they fasted. And I'm sure only for their prayer I am on the path of recovery. I cannot express my gratitude for their sincere love for me. And I can only pray that Sri Krishna may bless them with advanced Krishna consciousness. So he's saying that he doesn't even have the words to express fully the gratitude he felt towards his disciples. It's so loving, so sweet. And it shows how we can be grateful so that even those who are in senior positions can express gratitude to their dependents, to their spiritual dependents. So, and one more quote from Srila Prabhupada. He says, he wrote a letter to Keshava Prabhu. He says, "By distributing my books profusely, you are giving me great encouragement to translate. You are all helping me to fulfill the order which Guru Maharaj gave me. So I'm so much grateful to you, and I'm sure Krishna will bless you a million times over for doing this work." So he's so profuse in his blessing. So we can see from these anecdotes from Prabhupada the mood of making sure that he would express his gratitude to his disciples and to the others who helped him. And there's endless examples like that. Finally, let's just look at some examples from Lord Sri Krishna. So even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's actually the best example of gratitude. And it says, Prabhupada says that in this verse 10, in the 10th canto, he says, "The Lord is kritagya, grateful for whatever little worship a devotee offers. And even if the devotee forgets, the Lord does not." So that's the same word that was in the verse we read, kritagya. It means grateful. So even if we forget some service we've done for Krishna, Krishna doesn't forget. So that's so hope-inducing. I was remembering what Sachinanda Maharaj said recently. He was saying, bhakti, the process of bhakti is so hope-giving. And so when we read things like this, that Krishna doesn't forget, we do this little effort and Krishna remembers. So that's very encouraging. Another anecdote from 26 Second Avenue, Hayagriva Prabhu says that Prabhupada said, the Swamiji says, "If Krishna sees you are taking one step toward him, he will take 10 toward you. He's so happy to see you turn to him. He's more eager to see us return to Godhead than we are to go." So that's how deeply Krishna reciprocates, how much he shows his gratefulness. So we all know the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. So if one offers me with leaf, with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, Krishna accepts it. So if you think about that, it's all these things that Krishna is mentioning are very simple items. He's not asking for a lot. He's saying that if you just offer these simple items with love, I will accept it. So he's very gracious and his gratitude is, he's very quickly grateful. And we have a few examples of stories where devotees were giving simple items, almost things that were unofferable that we would consider maybe unofferable to the deities, for example. So one example is when Vidura and his wife Sulabha, they had Krishna over for lunch one day and they were nervous, and in their excitement and their nervousness and at hosting Krishna, they had peeled the banana and accidentally gave the peel instead of the banana to Krishna. So Krishna, instead of saying anything, he was so touched by the love given with that banana peel that he just started to chew on the banana peel and enjoy it and relish it. There's a really, for those of you who have seen the Mahabharata movies, the series, there's a beautiful scene of that with Krishna eating the banana peel. It's very nice. So another example is Sudama. Of course, we know how Sudama Brahman, he brought a kind of flat rice, a broken rice in a little cloth bag. So again, if you think about, you know, if we go to worship the deities, we would consider that kind of an unofferable, sort of, you know, broken rice, not even cooked really, just maybe it was cooked, but it wasn't very palatable. So he had that in a little cloth bag and Krishna stole it from him and began to eat with so much relish, so much so that Rukmini had to stop him and say, the whole universe is satisfied even with your one bite. Don't like, you don't need to keep eating more. So he was enjoying the love of Sudama Brahmana. And then finally, another example of a humble offering that Krishna was grateful for is the elderly woman Shabari. She was an ascetic woman in the forest, and Lord Ram had she had been waiting for years and years, preparing every day flowers for Ram's arrival, and she would go and pick berries for Ram, and she would taste them to make sure they were sweet. So she had this basket every day, a fresh basket of half-eaten, like, nibbled off fruit, because she wanted to make sure that each one was palatable for Lord Ram when he would come. So the day when he actually arrived, she was so happy, and she was offering him this her love, her fruit that she had picked. And Lakshman was a little disgusted, because he thought it wasn't very appropriate that she was giving him half-eaten fruit. And so he tried to tell Ram, like, this is not so good, they're half-eaten. And Ram said, "Oh, Lakshman, of all the many types of foods I've eaten in my life, this is by far, nothing has ever equaled these berries that were offered with such devotion." So, and he said that what touched Ram said, "What matters is not what's offered, not the item that's offered, but the love that's offered with." So we see in all these examples how Krishna is so easily satisfied with love, and so quickly reciprocates and demonstrates his gratefulness. And even more so than Krishna is Srimati Radharani, of course. She's compassion personified. So Prabhupada, in one lecture, he says that instead of giving the flower to Krishna, you should give it to Radharani to give to Krishna. Because when you do that, she will say, Radharani says, "Oh, you have brought a flower?" Prabhupada says, "Don't try to offer Krishna directly. Just offer through Radharani. It will be very much appreciated by Radharani." So she's even more quick to be grateful and appreciate what we have, little things that we have to offer. So if gratitude is good enough for God, then what to speak of us, right? So if Krishna is even demonstrating gratefulness, then us, who are just tiny, minute parts and parcels of Him, we are, of course, going to. That's our nature as well, to be grateful. So the second part, I wanted to just briefly touch on a few spiritual qualities that directly tie in with gratitude. So in the process of bhakti, there is these qualities of the Vaishnavas that help them progress in spiritual life. And so three of them that I would want to mention are directly correlated with gratitude. So the first one is being conscious, or being what they call today, very popular term nowadays, mindfulness, right? So, or Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada coined it, Krishna consciousness. So being conscious of Krishna. So have you ever noticed that when you're not even aware of what's going on around you, that it's harder to be appreciative? Because you haven't necessarily stopped long enough to, they say, stopped long enough to smell the roses, right? So it's in order to be grateful, we first have to stop and notice what's around us, in our what have we received in our spiritual life. So in this connection, I want to say a short little anecdote that happened to me when I was in Europe with Bhakti Charu Maharaj many years ago. My sister and I were in Italy with him, and he had arrived for a program, the temple, and he was very excited to be there. And so it was, I think it was a Sunday program, many devotees, the whole temple room was packed. And for those of you who know Bhakti Charu Swami, he is the epitome of being present, right? He's just so present and conscious, very, very mindful person. So he was, he said, "Okay, who here is, for those who are, who here is happy and grateful to be here right now? For those who are grateful and happy to be here, raise both arms, and we're going to do Hari Bol together," something like that. And so me, being young and being a little distracted, I thought, oh, this will be a good moment for a photograph because Maharaj looks, he looks so happy with his arms up. And so as everybody was, going Hari Bol, I had my camera out and I went click with Maharaj. So then after that moment, Maharaj, of course, being very aware, he noticed that I hadn't joined in, so there was a silence. And he looked at me, and at that time my name was Chintamani, so he looked at me and said, "So Chintamani, you're not happy to be here? You're not grateful to be here?" And there was a silence, and my heart sank. And Maharaj was very loving, so he was, and then he was smiling, and he was chastising me in a very kind way. But his point was that because I had been distracted in that moment, I had taken that time to wanted to catch a picture for the future instead of being present. I had lost that moment of expressing my gratitude, so that stuck with me, and I was thinking, okay. These two qualities, they go together. A devotee who's very conscious, very aware, is also is able to appreciate everything around, all the gifts of Krishna consciousness. So same with chanting, right? So if we're inattentive, then we can't appreciate the each mantra that we're with. So then the second quality that's directly connected is humility. And I've noticed this in my life that if I'm feeling proud about something, whatever it is that we might get proud of, some service or some talent, it's much more difficult to feel grateful. Because when you feel like when you're feeling pride, you feel like you feel like you already deserve that, or you kind of are entitled to something, right? I'm a feeling of entitlement. But with humility is like Lord Chaitanya says, feeling like a straw on the street, not expecting any respect. And in that state of mind, when you don't feel deserving of anything, then you can feel grateful for any little thing that comes in your life. So if I'm gonna approach Krishna consciousness in the way that I don't deserve any of this mercy. Somehow it's all coming to me. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how I'm getting this. It's unbelievable. If I have that kind of mood of humility that I don't deserve any of this, then each thing that comes into our life, each devotee that we meet, each kirtan that we're in, every lecture that we hear, every book that we read, every, sabji that we eat, prasadam, whatever it is, we will feel grateful because we don't feel like we deserve it. That there's a real gratitude, not an entitlement. And then the third quality that I would like to mention, spiritual quality that connects directly with gratitude, is contentment. And this comes right after gratitude. So they're sort of working together here. So if I feel like Krishna has given me all these wonderful gifts, and I look around and I can see in every aspect of my life all the ways that Krishna has blessed me, then I will feel like I have enough. I won't feel the need to look towards other people's lives on Facebook or on whatever platform it might be, and compare and think, oh, if only I had that, then I would be happy. Because I feel content. I would feel it would be ungrateful to think that I need something else to be happy. Krishna's already given me so much. So the more we focus on our own, what Krishna has given us, then we won't need to we won't be comparing ourselves. We won't have that envy, the heart of envy that's constantly comparing and wishing I had also what they have. So gratitude is actually an antidote to envy. So just applying gratitude. So practical tips. If you remember the definition of gratitude that I shared at the beginning, the Oxford definition, there's two parts to it. One is the quality of being thankful, and the second is readiness to show appreciation through and actually returning the kindness through action. So let's look at the two of those things. So the first part is an attitude. Vaisheshika Prabhu calls it an attitude of gratitude, right? So the quality of being thankful. So some practical ways to do that. And to one thing I want to mention is that even when we're practicing gratitude, even that can become robotic if we do it too much. You know how the mind is wired to become complacent. So if we think, okay, every day I'm going to do a gratitude journal, even that can, if we're not careful, can become like just a robotic exercise of the mind and not from the heart. So I was thinking how important it is to switch up different methods to keep the mind interested and engaged. So finding different ways to remember to stay grateful. So the first one is keeping track of our blessings. I have found that writing down, keeping a journal, keeping some kind of document of all the moments in my life that have been blessings. And then if I'm feeling discouraged or complacent later on, then I can look at those and I can feel inspired and remembering Krishna's kindness, how Krishna did play a part in my life and how. So if I have times where I'm feeling complacent or discouraged, then looking back at those help. And Rupa Goswami actually says that, he says this quote in the Padyavali, "Oh Lord, just as a miser continuously collects, counts, and remembers his money, in the same way, let us continually collect, count, and remember your holy names." So in the same, that same mood, let us continually collect, count, and remember all the ways that Krishna has touched our lives, the ways that devotees have touched our lives like that. So just keeping track of them. And that can look different for different people. For me, I love writing, so that works for me, but other people might find recording or making videos or whatever other way works for you, of keeping track of all the ways Krishna has blessed you. Indradumna Swami says that no matter what the world throws at you, you can stay inspired by remembering your list of good fortune. So if we have that list to turn to when we're feeling down or when life gets difficult, then it really helps. Second thing that is helpful is prayer. So praying with gratitude. And this is especially helpful to do before bed. So we start off the next morning auspiciously. So Prabhupada writes this in a purport in the third canto. He says, "We should always feel very much obliged to the personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us into the happy condition of eternal life. There is no sufficient means to repay him for his act of benediction. Therefore, we can simply feel gratitude and pray to the Lord with folded hands." So praying to increase our gratitude and praying for a greater appreciation capacity. Because when we're in this materially conditioned mind, it's limited. And so I've noticed for myself, there's all these wonderful sanghas happening, so much nectar going on right now online, but I'm only able to take in so much before I reach the saturation point because of my own limitations. So it helps to pray to Krishna, please help me to see and notice what's around me and also let me increase my appreciation capacity. So these are some things that I came up with to deal with complacency. So one of them is, this is something I don't really know how I started doing this, but maybe 10 years ago, I started doing this thing where to remind myself of all the gifts that I've been given in this life, I would picture myself, okay, imagine my life without all these things. So I really do a visualization, picturing myself on a street corner of like a busy city, just like all the traffic, all the everything that just the material world, the material energy all around, and what that would feel like to be lost without the nectar of association that I have, without the books, whatever it is that we're might be taking for granted. A picture your life without that, and really deeply feel what that would be like as a reminder. Another way to kind of jump out of this complacency is to remember that line from Bhajahuremana, that bhajan. It says, "Kamala dala jala, jivana talamala." That we're living life as if we're a drop on a lotus petal. You know how they're kind of waxy and we're like a little drop of water? Any moment that can just slide off of that lotus petal. And similarly, our lives at any moment can be over. So trying to really remind ourselves of that, like living today and appreciating today, the gifts of Krishna today. And then let's look at the other aspect, gratitude in action. So the first part was just deepening our internal gratitude. Now let's look at actions to deepen our gratitude. So the second part of that definition from the Oxford Dictionary is a readiness to show appreciation and and returning of kindness. So Radhana Swami, he's one of the, when I think about gratitude, I think about Radhana Swami. He's just the epitome of gratitude, and he always talks about it. So he has this beautiful quote, and he says that gratitude doesn't mean simply saying thank you. Real gratitude means reciprocation. If we are actually grateful to someone, we will reciprocate, even if it means great sacrifice. So there's that expression, like giving back or paying it forward. So when we have received a lot in our life, when we have seen the transcendental, when we have experienced the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness, to find ways to give that back and to express that back to everyone who helped us get there is taking action with gratitude. So some practical ways to do that. So first one is really just, this is simple, but expressing our gratitude to those around us who have helped us in our spiritual journey, and showing our gratitude through service or through care, helping them out, doing something to demonstrate that we're grateful. Let's not wait until everybody's gone till we appreciate them, because that's often what happens in the material world, that we, when someone's near the end of their life, then we start thinking, oh, and then we start appreciating, like, all this, you know, then we start telling them. So if we can do that now while the people around us are still with us, and really deeply appreciate them for being part of our spiritual journey. And Radhana Swami again, he says that when we do this, Krishna will take our devotional service seriously when he sees that we have gratitude to the great souls who have given their lives to help us. So I'll read that again. Krishna will take our devotional service seriously when he sees that we have gratitude to the great souls who have given their lives to help us. So we need to demonstrate that through expressions of gratitude to those devotees. And then Krishna will be pleased to see that. And then the devotees also will feel touched. So I came across this in a purport from the Adi Lila. Prabhupada writes, he actually mentions the letters of gratitude that he receives from his disciples. He said that thousands of followers, especially Western youth, are taking part in this Hare Krishna movement, and how safe and happy they feel can be understood from the expressions of gratitude in their hundreds and thousands of letters. So Prabhupada is appreciating that pouring in of gratitude that he felt from his disciples. So for us to give gratitude is purifying to us, and it's also deeply touching to the recipient as well. It creates very loving interactions. Then also expressing our gratitude to the departed devotees. So those, the amazing, wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness is it's never too late. So we can tell even those who have already departed, we can share our mind and our heart with those devotees through writing or prayer. And in the 11th canto, it's described how Uddhava appeased his separation. He was feeling intense, the fear of separation from Krishna. And by remembering Krishna's great kindness upon him, he steadied his mind with feelings of gratitude. So we can do that as well when we lose great devotees that are so close to us, the devotees that are so dear to our spiritual journeys. Then we can never remove that burn, you know, that pain of separation, but we can appease it a little bit, right, by recalling all the ways that we're grateful to them, all the ways they have helped us. Okay, and then one other thing that I'll say, and then I'll open it up for discussion and questions. So I was thinking how important it is to create communities where we have a culture of gratitude. So some practical ways to do this, and especially when we're raising children and in the community, the children that are growing up in that community will imbibe that mood, right? So if we have a culture of gratitude within our communities, then that will be reflected out into the future generations and also to the world in general. So some questions that we can ask ourselves. One question we can ask ourselves individually and as a community: who paved the way for us to serve right now? Who are some of the people that helped create this community, this temple or this particular venue so that I could serve? Or who played a part? And we can learn about our history of these, especially the early devotees who did so much to allow us these opportunities. So we can, learning about our history and appreciating those people, those devotees, especially while they're still alive, but even posthumously, right? We can appreciate their efforts. We can memorialize their efforts by glorifying those devotees, creating maybe perhaps like some sort of photos on a temple. Like these are the original devotees who worked so hard in the beginning days, things like that. We can brainstorm ways to create those monuments, those ways to honor devotees who have dedicated their whole life to Krishna. And that way the children growing up will see that that's our culture, that we give gratitude towards our predecessors. And then also thinking when we go to events, like spiritual events, like for example, gatherings, like a Sunday program, we can ask ourselves, in this situation, am I being the receiver or am I giving? Like, am I just taking or am I giving? And we can ask our children this too, to reflect on this. Am I going to the temple and just taking, like just enjoying the kirtan, just taking the prasadam and then going home? Or am I giving? Am I also expressing my appreciation through service and giving back somehow, like cutting for the feast or monthly tithing, something to show our appreciation? So really act of gratitude. And then finally, the ultimate way to express our gratitude is to share the gifts of Krishna consciousness with others. And I would like to end with this beautiful quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 9, text 19 in the purport. It's a really sweet quote from Srila Prabhupada here. He says that anyone preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord. And the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. And I thought that was so sweet because Prabhupada is using the kind of colloquial way of thanking someone where you shake their hand and he's writing in that mood. But to remember that this is a cycle. So when we're expressing our gratitude towards Krishna by showing him that we're going to dedicate our lives in service, then he is also, Krishna's also, his heart is touched by it. And then he in turn gives us more service, more joy in spiritual life. And it's like a never-ending cycle of gratitude in bhakti yoga. So I would like to end here and see if there's any questions or comments.
Oh, we have a comment I think I shared with you on the chat. A question, actually, from one of our viewers.
Okay.
Maybe I can read it out. You mentioned how Krishna is grateful for our service. Could you please connect that to how Krishna is so great? He doesn't need our service. In other words, it is our great fortune to have the opportunity to serve him by taking up the service of the Guru. So then at the same time, he's also grateful. So maybe if you can help us connect that. Because sometimes we see him as he doesn't really need us.
Yeah. Actually, the one thing Krishna, the only one thing that Krishna needs, he doesn't need anything because he's completely complete within himself. But the one thing Krishna does need is our loving reciprocation. And we're part and parcel of Krishna. So that's it's our inherent, our desire to serve Krishna and his desire to receive. And that's just part of Krishna. That's going to be there forever. And that's eternally our connection with him. So even though Krishna has everything, the one thing that he doesn't necessarily have is our love, because he gives us that independence, that freedom to choose. And so He's waiting for it and eager for it. And then when we do turn towards him, that's why he's so so willing to reciprocate with so many steps.
Thank you. There's another question from Rajesh Prabhu on the chat. I don't know if you can you see that or?
Yeah. Does expressing gratitude have anything to do with one's behavior? Like some are introverted, some are extroverted, some just like themselves and don't really engage. Oh, just like to keep to themselves and don't really engage much in conversation. I personally know a few devotees where I feel expressing my gratitude to them verbally isn't the right way of doing it due to individual personality. Yes, thank you so much. This is a really important point. So Krishna consciousness is a process, is a personalist philosophy. So when we are expressing our gratitude, we need to see the person that we are interacting with and what they are like as a person and what kind of interaction they would most appreciate. This is very important because it's true. Some devotees, I was even reflecting on how Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was really, he didn't want to be praised. He didn't want people, you know, glorifying him. So he would hide away from it. So yeah, so to be sensitive to what would be meaningful to a devotee. And so sometimes that can be very low key, very subtle, just maybe offering to go and shop for them or, you know, something like that. But trying different ways and just seeing, feeling how that person responds to it and whether they, whether they're okay with it or not.
Thank you very much. I was just going to comment on that same kind of thing that also beyond an individual's personality, sometimes it's a cultural thing too. Because I know in our Indian culture, you know, we tell someone, thank you. Why are you thanking me? Don't thank me. You're offending me. They actually feel offended because you said thank you. It's a very common phenomenon. So you don't thank your own people. It's like thanking yourself. If you thank me, you're distancing yourself from me. So it's like it brings a wall of formality between the relationships. So don't thank me. But then at the same time, I think your point was very well taken that we express it in other ways. We spend more time with them. We show our eagerness to be with them. We show how happy we are that they came. You don't have to necessarily use words. And even same thing like, you know, they'll say, don't say I love you. Don't say that. Just you show your love by serving. You know, the words mean nothing in certain. So it's like a cultural thing too. So I guess you can express gratitude in different ways by giving more time to them and so on. So I just wanted to add that.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. It's also, being sensitive to that. And also I was thinking how even in the Bhagavatam, so many times gratitude is expressed through glorification. So, but not necessarily, directly saying thank you, but you know, like it doesn't necessarily mean you have to use the words thank you, but to convey with your heart and with your action that someone has deeply touched your life and that you're now going to pay it back or pay it forward.
Right. Like you mentioned earlier, right, that the attitude,
yeah,
a grateful attitude. You know, it's because and sometimes I also mention it that when I give a class, I say like, you know, love is very hard to reach, like the love of Godhead is a very high goal, but gratefulness is something we can reach immediately. You know, so it's like a stepping stone to a much higher place. So gratitude is one of those stepping stones, you know, appreciation, gratitude, thinking about them, learning more about these are all different stepping stones to finally reach that. So gratitude is one of the most powerful, easily accessible ways, and it's immediately fulfilling because you feel happy that you opened your heart to gratefulness. You know, it's the attitude that's the main point. You know?
Yes.
Trying to remember the acronym GITA, GITA. Gratitude is the attitude.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So, well, thank you very much. We're fortunately out of time. But yes, so I am full of gratitude for you having spent some time with us this evening. It is past 9 o'clock, and I think what we will do at this point is we will make regular announcements and then I'll open up for the devotees to express their gratitude.